Recently, Rob Goffey and Gareth Jones wrote an article in the March issue 2007 of the Harvard Business Review entitled Leading Clever People. I thought that I would take that article, build on it, and translate it so that we can provide a little bit of information related to leading professional people. This is an important translation because much of your life as leaders is going to be in leading other professionals, whether in your own discipline or other disciplines, in the process of making change and in transforming their own lives. The characteristics between leading very knowledgeable people or knowledge workers and leading professional folks is very tight, and therefore much of the information that I'm going to share has direct translation into leading professional folks regardless of the discipline. We've already talked about how in practice leaders have to create environments in which professional people can thrive. Those things that drive professional people are much different from those that drive other kinds of workers, and the environment and context for their work is disproportionate to what we generally see when we're talking about leadership and how leadership is addressed in a variety of broader-based categories. Think for a moment about the medical professional who creates a new technique, or the pharmacy professional who participates in the creation of a new drug, or a nursing professional who undertakes innovative and creative processes related to new therapeutics, applications, patient care, patient relationships, or patient contexts. All of these things may change the very way in which the professional does business and how through that doing business they relate to others. Leaders today recognize the importance of having very knowledgeable and competent professionals who are highly creative and who can really make a difference. But in order to do that, the organization has to be able to put up with the various characteristics and behaviors and patterns and roles that these people bring with them. However, one of the largest challenges for executive leadership and innovative leaders in an organization is that there are diseconomies of scale in creative enterprises such as healthcare. If you simply double the number of creative people, it really doesn't mean that your organization will be twice as creative or innovative. The organization must not only be able to attract exceptionally knowledgeable and creative talent, but it must also foster an environment in which these professional and creative people can be inspired to achieve their fullest potential in a way that produces a wealth of value for the organization, for their colleagues, indeed for all of the stakeholders. And that's really a tough proposition. Professional knowledge workers have one defining characteristic, and that is that they generally do not want to be led. This certainly creates a problem for any leader, and certainly for you as a leader. The challenge now becomes greater as we begin to broaden the base of professional activity, create interdisciplinary intersections for these activities, and bring a diversity of very knowledgeable and creative people around the same table. Professional and creative people are more mobile than they've ever been, and more free to move in a variety of work constructs and situations, and simply much more willing to leave and to take advantage of other opportunities if you don't provide the opportunities that they need. It simply means that professional people, knowledge workers, have more opportunities in the workplace. They're not people that are now waiting around for their pensions and settling into their work. They are actually demanding an opportunity to express their value. They know their value, they value their value, and they want you to do so as well. The work of Goffey and Jones demonstrates that it has become clearer and clearer in their research that the psychological relationship leaders have with other professional and creative people is very different from the one they have with very traditional followers. Professionals really want a higher degree of organizational protection and a recognition that their ideas, their contribution, their voice is valuable and will be heard. They also demand a great deal of freedom to explore and to fail in their own practices. And with the addition now of evidence-based frames and context for practice, the notion of experimentation and risking and practicing and failing becomes really critical. And this is a delicate balance in healthcare-driven organizations. They really expect their leaders to be intellectually on their plane, capable of dialoguing and interacting with them in the places that they stand. They don't want leaders' talents and skills to outshine their own, but they want them to be at least as competent as they are in their leadership as the professional is in his or her own work. That's not to say that all clever people are alike and that they follow a single path, but it does, however, indicate that they share a number of very defining characteristics. And those characteristics are ones that the leader must be cognizant of and be able to manage and to incorporate into the leadership process as they lead. Now, leaders are not at the mercy of their highly talented and creative professional colleagues. Some very talented individuals can produce remarkable results on their own. In most cases, however, clever people need the organization just as much as the organization needs them, and professional people are certainly no different. Remember, the physician needs the hospital or diagnostic services in order to do his or her work. The nurse needs whatever support systems, structures, and healthcare contexts that are necessary to support the clinical and interactive work of nursing. Pharmacists need their pharmacies or their chemical compounding environments in order to be able to undertake their work. So there is a symbiotic relationship between the organization, other players, and the individual professional. And it is this relationship that the leader wants to maximize and to harness as he or she thinks about how best to lead the professional worker in a meaningful way. Still, it is important for the leader to recognize that all of the context, organizations, systems, and resources in the world are useless to them unless the leader has professional and creative and innovative people to help move them and to do the work that must unfold within them. And of course, the leader has to realize that the knowledge worker and the professional is not dependent on the organization, and in today's world has a more partnership and studied and almost distant relationship with the organization than has been traditionally evident in the past. These professional workers have an entirely different sense of their relationship to the organization, their obligations to the organization, and the organization's obligations to them. And this now colors the nature of the relationship in a significant way. And so it's very important for the leader to know that creative and innovative knowledge workers and professional people need to have a very strongly well-developed knowledge management infrastructure within which to work. And again, it's here where the leader's role begins to accelerate. It is the obligation of the leader to be able to create this context where this knowledge creation, generation, and management process can unfold in a way that is meaningful and valuable for both the worker and for the organization, and ultimately that both collaborate in a way that makes it work for the interests of those both serve. Now, the attitude that professional and creative people display towards their organization reflect their own sense of self-worth. Goffey and Jones studies found that most professional and knowledge workers are scornful of the language of hierarchy and of organization. Now, they are aware that salaries and bonuses and benefits and all of those kinds of things attached to their work are essential to their own life process, and so that's certainly a part of their understanding. But they often are not all that attuned to the value, nor are they interested in promotions or advancements within the organizational definition of them. So the leader has to realize that expecting to lure or retain or somehow benefit them with job titles and advancements and positions and all that kind of thing really over the long term does not have a sustainable impact. The professional worker, like other knowledge workers, really likes to stay close to the work that they sought to do as a part of being a part of their profession. And they want that real work to be what they focus on and, hopefully, what the organization will support. And they often focus on that work to the detriment of their relationships with people that are supposed to be managing them. In this studied, difficult, and sometimes noisy relationship between the organization, between management, between the knowledge worker, the professional, really is the font of many stories of problems and challenges and difficulties. Now, it's important for the leader to understand that professional workers aren't so distanced from their own opportunities that they don't care about their own personal status. They actually often do, and very passionately. It's often quite clear that professional workers want to be noted for their accomplishments and who they are as persons, their credentials, their acknowledgement, the title of doctor or professor or scholar or leader are all very important parts of their personal identity. The point is that knowledgeable professional people feel that they are a part of a professional community, and in a profession, that community actually operates external to the organization. In the clinical professions, the licensed professions, the license comes from the state. It represents the certification and support of the individual professional to act on behalf of the citizens of the state within whatever context the professional finds him or herself. The professional does not owe their allegiance to the organization. The organization cannot control or manage or influence the licensed obligation of the individual professional. That is something that is managed by the profession, the professional, and those people that govern the license of that profession. The profession is greater than the institution in which it is practiced, and that acknowledgement is often forgotten. The profession of medicine practices at a particular hospital or health location. The profession of nursing, the nurse practices at a particular hospital. It is the profession of nursing practicing at the hospital, not the hospital directing or telling or owning or manipulating the practice of the profession of nursing as though it had some legal or legitimate right to do so. It simply does not. And therefore the profession is greater than the places where that profession and where professionals practice, and that the professional owns a greater allegiance to the profession than they do to the workplace. And this has been evident in many, many different stories and circumstances within any number of professions. Now, it also has to be remembered that the professional's indifference to hierarchy and to bureaucracy does not make the professional person politically naive or disconnected. Now, that person can be politically naive and disconnected, and often is, especially when you consider employed professionals, and most notably nurses. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they are unaware. This political awareness and understanding of the broader frame of reference for the profession doesn't often get translated into a language. But when it does, the language is very powerful, very clear, and can have a significant influence over colleagues and others. Often you will find a professional publicly expressing disdain for the business or organizational side of those things that support the profession's work, but the professional still privately asks, and sometimes even publicly asks, penetrating questions about the organization's operations, characteristics, growth opportunities, prospects, relationships, and impact on the patient and the community. The professional is often an outspoken champion of the organization in dealing with other individuals and other organizations and other entities as a way of providing support for that organization which supports the individual's practice. So obviously it is clearly important for the leader to be aware of this potential and to make sure that the political and organizational implications of action having an impact on practice is generated in a way that can be understood by the professionals and by knowledge workers so that they can be engaged rather than alienated and can be involved in providing input, feedback, and even contribution to decisions which might relate moving the organization in a way that influences their practice and the outcomes of their work. In addition, it's important for the leader to know that the professional worker is quick to recognize insincerity and will always respond badly to it. The knowledge worker usually has a heightened sixth sense with regard to who's present to them and who isn't, and how direct that presence is articulated in their relationship. This is especially so with leaders. It's always wise for the leader just to keep in mind that professional people, knowledge workers, are generally not easily fooled, and it's really a waste of time and effort and creates all kinds of duplicity and problems with the organization when you try to either fool or lie to or cover up or not disclose information. The sixth sense of the professional worker, the knowledge worker, the creative individual gets heightened, and once they begin to mistrust you, it is very, very difficult for them to see that trust reestablished at a later date. So it's just wise for the leader to know up front, honesty, openness, directness, and clarity are really critical elements to leadership success with knowledge workers, professional people. Now, another thing that's important for the leader to know is that the professional or knowledge worker really sees organization and administrative machinery as a distraction from their own key value-adding activities. So the individual knowledge worker really has very limited appreciation for the administrative constructs of the organization. Often they articulate this in either distrust, disbelief, or in some way negating the value of the administrative process, and often disparaging it through any kind of acronym such as bureaucracy and the suits and other kinds of things that delineate people who are somehow dispossessed from the real work of the organization as acknowledged in the efforts of the knowledge worker, the professional worker. Now, the leader can establish early on productive relationships with professional people. In almost any environment, either the chief clinical officer or in the academic environment, the dean, freeing star players from the burden of departmental administration, at businesses freeing people from the burdens of day-to-day activities, all indicates for the professional person an opportunity for their work being valued, for more time for their work, and actually represents in their own thinking, and they would believe the thinking of the organization, that the organization has good sense in recognizing that their own efforts are key to the success of the organization, and that the organization is getting things out of the way of their opportunity to maintain success. Now, there's a concept called organizational RAIN, R-A-I-N, and it is a part of the role of the leader to protect those at the point of service, the professional and knowledge workers, from the impact of organizational RAIN. This RAIN, if you will, is the often obstructive and sometimes obfuscating administrative activity that come from trying to coordinate and integrate and facilitate the linkage of processes in an organizational system between external variables and internal variables, and all of the management and administrative and budgetary and financial and resource-driven issues that are generated and certainly entailed in that process. So it's really important that those at the point of service be certainly clear about the importance of all of those activities and how necessary a successful organizational effort and administrative frame is for the successful undertaking of almost anything in the organization, but that the knowledge worker and the point of service worker really should be protected from the vagaries and the pain and some of the almost mind-numbing processes associated with administrative activities. In fact, in contemporary times, in many organizations, these administrative activities have been so broadly generated throughout the organization and have grown in such a bureaucratic and developmental way that they almost overwhelm the regulatory accreditation, policy, and procedural work of the organization in a way that the point of service individuals, knowledge workers, professional staff get overwhelmed with this minutia and lose sight of the fundamental professional obligation they have for the work, for the impact of that work on those they serve, in the case of healthcare, on patients, and for genuinely making a difference in providing the service for which the organization is designed in the first place. So keeping that from being felt by professional workers and those at the point of service is really a critical mandate of leadership. And only engaging the worker in those activities of administration necessary to really facilitate and advance the success of the worker in their own clinical work enterprises should be the continual focus and effort of the leader. Now, for the leader, kind of an additional step needs to be a part of the constant role set in unfolding the work of leadership with regard to organizational reign. It's important that the leader recognize that a part of her or his role is to minimize this reign by creating an atmosphere in which the rules and norms are simple and can be universally accepted. The more complicated, convoluted, involved, and broad they become, the more disheartened, unmotivated, and challenged knowledge workers at the point of service become, and the less creative and innovative and engaged they are even in their own work. And so limiting the bureaucracy, limiting the policy and the regulatory impact to the extent possible, and finding simple and applied ways of addressing them is really, really important on the leader's part as a part of providing support to those that are knowledge workers and professionals at that point of service. Good leaders frequently take steps to streamline rules, regulations, priorities, and those kinds of things as a way of promoting a culture that really values simplicity. In an evidence-based world where we're trying to create an evidentiary framework for practice, the attachment to simplicity and finding the core elements at the center of complexity and major change is really an important construct for the leader and a fundamental activity in the role of the leader as that person tries to create a context which supports the knowledge worker, clinical practice, and unfolding professional work. I just want to mention as an aside here that one of the most important things that leaders of professional and innovative and creative people can do is make sure that they bring together a collection of folks with the right stuff to be able to do the kinds of things and accomplish the kinds of ends that are really intended in membership in the organization. Professional people require a peer group of like-minded individuals, and the leader must either be willing to hire those kinds of people and then create an opportunity for them to collaborate and to work together really well, or has to develop that kind of skill set and context with the people that the leader already confronts in the organization. And through a slow and long process of transformation in behavior and in relationships, build a strong sense of peer-based collaboration and interaction. In fact, build a team that becomes seamless and smooth in its actions and interactions with each other, and very successful in undertaking the work that it is essentially tasked or assigned to do. One of the things that's really important that we recognize that the investment in people is probably one of the things as leaders we can do most notably to affect the organization and to affect the achievement of goals. Most leaders of companies rely on intelligent, gifted professional folks to really keep a close watch on the creation of stars in the organization and bringing in stars in the organization. When you think about Bill Gates and his relentless effort to have the most creative and innovative people in his organization, and you think Google leadership constantly looking for the most innovative, creative, and gifted people in unique ways in their organization. And then the way in which they design the organization, the relationships, the management, and the infrastructure to really support the opportunity of these professional, innovative, and creative people to really thrive and succeed in the organization and to create a framework for success for other individuals in the organization. In addition to that, the leader wants to make sure that the reward infrastructure and systems are in place to really reward professional people in a different way from how you normally reward in employment practices. Professional people need an opportunity for exemplifying the professional work, publishing the professional work, making public what they're doing, being able to articulate to others, and to also have the freedom to be able to further innovate and create and move their work to higher levels of value and of outcome. They are looking for an organization and for leaders who are willing and able to put together both a context and a relational framework that makes it possible for these professional stars to be able to shine and provide the kind of contribution that they so hungrily seek within the organization and within the meaning of the work that they attempt to do in their own professional life and activities. Another important consideration for the leader is to be willing to honor failure and to make space for failure. The innovative and creative leader always remembers that innovation is actually a child of failure, and that failures are simply signposts on the road to success. And without honoring them and acknowledging them, enumerating them, and using them as stepping stones towards a successful outcome or product, the failures themselves become dead ends and the process of innovation simply ceases to exist as a value. It's really important to accept the necessity of failure, but sometimes we only do it in theory and we really need to be doing it in fact. Remember, good leaders really help their professional people, their innovators and creators, learn to use their failure, not just live with it, not just accommodate it or adjust it, but actually learn to use their failures in a meaningful way as a building block, if you will, upon which they can develop new thinking or further thinking or refine the thinking that they began with. Good leaders, smart leaders, also recognize that the best ideas don't always come from internal projects or organizational projects or company projects. Sometimes the individual may be undertaking activities or having thoughts or hobbies or external activities outside of the system that may have the seeds of value and innovation and creativity within the organization. Sometimes professional creative people may be driving home to work or may be having coffee at a Starbucks and pursuing an idea that may come to mind that had nothing to do with the workplace, but has all the seeds of transferability into the workplace, and opportunities rest there in their thinking to have some real value at work. Being able to talk about this and to give them a medium, essentially, to apply what it is that they've learned and what they've gained to the workplace and to the activities that they might do there is also a smart venture on the part of the leader. Many innovative and creative ideas that go on in healthcare didn't emerge necessarily in the workplace, but certainly emerged in the fertile and creative mind of the professionals who generated them, and often in places that had nothing to do with work. Finally, for the leader of professionals, especially innovative and creative professionals, it's really important to help them also come to understand their interdependence with the organization, with the system, with each other, and with you as a leader. One of the things that is fundamental to the role of the leader is making sure that leaders remember that they are a part of a membership community. This notion in a profession of membership in a community is really critical to the viability of the profession. So often you see people who ascend to the heights of either personal accomplishment in research or academia or administration, forget that they are members of a larger community and that they are representing that community as they move and grow along their own personal trajectory. If they are really interested in the value of the profession and the work, they never lose sight of their membership in the profession, and as they advance their own interests, a part of their mental model for that advancement is to also advance the interests of the profession and to bring the profession along with them as they grow in their own individual ways. This notion of membership in a membership community is really critical to both leaders and to members of the profession, and lends to their credibility and to their acceptance in terms of their own leadership roles and skills as they begin to develop and provide clinical or management leadership within the profession or the organization. One of perhaps the most significant ways that leaders can make sure that professional stars and leaders in the membership community can make a contribution in their own right and also lend value to the community is to acknowledge the particular skills they have and find a way to incorporate those skills into decisions, deliberations, and dialogue related to improving the practices of the organization, raising the business potential of the organization, or creating new pathways for service or new standards or practices related to raising the outcomes and value of care in the healthcare system. Ways in which the individual's accomplishments can be linked to the community and can provide value to advancing the community rewards not only the individual professional for their leadership, their own innovation and creativity, but ties that back to the profession and their membership in it, demonstrating how they have contributed to advancing the profession and linking them tightly to monitoring and measuring their own growth as they contribute to and monitor and measure the growth of the profession as well. Each of these become really important to understanding the value and the commitment, if you will, to keeping professional stars and leaders on board and developing them wherever they are in the system. In closing this brief discussion about leading professionals, especially creative, innovative, and fully participating professionals, I just want to mention really quickly about seven things that the research by Goffey and Jones has indicated are essential to fully contributing and valuable professional members of the organization. Leading the professional worker has entirely different characteristics and elements to it than leading almost any other kind of worker. So it's very important for the leader to just keep in mind the key elements of engagement, involvement, investment, recognition, ownership, and all of the things that relate to including the professional in building a membership community. Each of these is critical to the success not only of the individual professional and the profession, but also of the leaders. Finally, leaders should be aware of the characteristics most clever people and professional people share, which collectively sometimes make them difficult to manage, but is critical to the effective management of them. First, these people generally know their worth, and the leader must reflect that that knowledge of their self-worth also means that they see themselves as partners, not subordinates. Secondly, they are generally organizationally and relationally savvy. They have a sixth sense about whether the organization is on board, facilitating, encouraging, or investing, and when it is not. So clearly, the honesty and openness in the approach to the organization and to its commitment to them not only must be articulated, but must also be demonstrated. Three, professional people generally do not have a great attachment to hierarchy and do not value hierarchy. So for the leader, the message delivered here is to limit or delimit or eliminate, if possible, as much hierarchy in the relationship with professional people at the point of service, and really build professional decision-making, involvement, and investment in the organization through a much more flattened, horizontal relationship than has historically been present in healthcare. Four, professionals, especially those who are intelligent and gifted and creative, really expect to have immediate and direct access to all the resources and people they need in order to do their work well. This access to resources, to equipment, to supplies, to people, to roles, is fundamental to the professional being supported and having a sense from the organization that that organization is committed to them. If the support systems and the infrastructure are designed in a way to facilitate the work of the professional trusts them. When it does not, the professional is suspicious. Fifth, the professional is generally well connected with the people that matter to them. They build communities and relationships with their peers and their colleagues where they practice, where they work, and what they do. Those relationships are often more important than any relationship with the organization or any relationship with managers and leaders as far away from them in the organization as they might be. Immediate, personal, on-time, real-time, in-person, present relationships are very important to the professional. Six, professionals really have a very low boredom level. Professionals like to be busy about the work that they became a professional to do. They want to be involved and invested in that work. They need it to be creative, they need it to be innovative, and they need it to adapt and change to the realities and the processes of involving themselves in people and services and care and technology in unfolding their own work. Therefore, opportunity, expectation, the ability to advance or to grow or to create or to adjust to the new, the ability to test, to experiment, and to research, all are incorporated into the frame of reference of the professional in terms of what he or she expects at that point of service in order to enthuse and excite them with regard to the work. And finally, professionals, especially creative and innovative professionals, don't often slow down long enough to say thank you. It's not that they're not appreciative or that they're not happy or pleased that all of the supports, leadership, guidance, and engagement and involvement and rewards are in place. It's not that they don't appreciate those. What is operating here is that they're so involved and engaged and busy and excited about their own work and their own potential and their own opportunities that they tend to forget to look outside, look at the context, look at the role of the leader, look at the role of others, and be appreciative of the contribution that that makes to their own accomplishments, their own success, and their own work. The leader can facilitate this process by setting aside a time for reflection, for thanks, for evaluation, and for appreciation of what has worked and what has facilitated and aided individual professionals and the collective profession in advancing its work, meeting the needs of those it serves, and making a difference in the professional's life as well as the lives of those the professional serves. These are really just a summary, if you will, of some of the characteristics and applications of leadership that have particular implications for the professional. As always, there is much more to address in terms of leading professions and professionals, but this provides for you as a leader the foundations, the baseline, if you will, for looking at your leadership role and leadership of the profession.